Okay, so let's begin first. We're up to Yirmiyah Perek Tesvav. The pace is going to pick up very quickly. We're now the psukim they shift into a very quick speed. But we have a few more psukim until we get there. Is it loud enough? Okay, now actually we are soft. Okay, but right now we are up to Perek Tesvav. We are in the middle of Yirmiyah. Let's review the story. The story over here was that Yirmiyah complained bitterly to Hashem. He said that it's not fair. You promised, you sent me on a mission, you promised me that I would be protected. You would serve, you would shield me as a wall of Barzel. You would protect me from my enemies. Because a prophet that says, gives over harsh words of Chorban is not very well liked. And Yirmiyah here says that Hashem, it appears that you're not true to your word. I feel as if I'm slipping away. I'm a target of assassination, and I feel that I am not going to make it. So Hashem says to him, it's not true. It's not true. Stay the course. Everything will be okay. You just have to stay the course, and you'll be okay. And we learned there yesterday, if we're not going to go over the pasuk again, we have just one medrash, which we didn't read inside. And I'll just translate the pasuk according to the interpretation of the Radak. The Radak's second or first interpretation, he said, pasuk yutes, perek tes vav pasuk yutes. We learned yesterday, l'chein d'yefer klem Hashem im toshuv. According to the Radak, this means, Yirmiyah, you have spoken harshly against me. You have committed a very grave sin. How dare you question my ways? Do teshuva. And if you'll do teshuva, we can kiss and make off. Everything will be okay. Im toshuv, if you will do teshuva for these harsh words, these harsh accusations that you have lodged against me, v'ashivcha, I will also return to you. I will forgive you for your...
Did Hashem say he would protect you?
Hashem did say, but we're going to see more. The next Radak, the next pasuk is a little more elaborate. Hashem said to him, you misunderstood me. I'm going to protect you, but you misunderstood. You thought that it's not going to be as bad as it is. You thought that occasionally they will harass you. You never expected that the harassment should be continuous, nonstop. So Hashem says to him, listen, you did something very, very bad. You said these very harsh words. It's going to be recorded for posterity, what you've done. And do tshuva. And if you'll do tshuva, I will forgive you v'yashivcha. And after I forgive you, not only will I forgive you, lefonai tamod, I will restore your stature as being a very great Navi, and you will stand and daven. Tamod means you will pray before me on behalf of the Jewish people. And then Hashem goes on to say, I want you to continue your mission. What is the mission? These beautiful words. V'im taitzi yokar mizoylel. If you will succeed in your mission and bring forth a yokar, an individual or a group of people who are precious, who are noble, who are servants of Hashem, yorei shamayim, people who follow in the ways of the Torah, mizolel, from the current situation of the situation on the ground is such that the people are in the category of a zolel, repugnant, people who have no appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you will succeed in this mission and bring forth a yakar from a zolel, then I will give you the ultimate bracha of kifi sihiyeh, you will be like my mouth. In other words, I will give you divine power. I will give you the ability to be mevatel, to cancel any gezerah that I decree. Or I'll give you the ability to make your own gezerahs. If you want it to be that something should happen, so be it. You will have divine power. Whatever you say will go. That will be the bracha that a person gets when you yakar mizolel kefisi. It's an amazing bracha. A person is involved in chinuch, and you take a child that starts out in the category of a zolel, has no prospects, no hope for any to just, you know, if this child would go to another yeshiva, would go somewhere, and he would the assumption is he would fall to the side, and you go and you make something out of a Talmud, you're given this incredible bracha kefi siya. You don't know, sometimes you go for a bracha, you really don't know the koyach of a tzaddik. There's a very funny story circulating. A person, he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He wanted to go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky for bracha. He did not have children. So he spoke to the gabbai. And he said to the Gabbai, I have a tzara. I don't have any children. I desperately want a child. Please, can you speak to Rav Chaim? You can give me a bracha. And I'm warning you, I don't just want this narishkeit. I should go there for 10 seconds, 3 seconds, and he should say to me, Bohu. Everyone knows me, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so Bohu. So he used to say, Barocha vehatzlacha. So the lines are so long, so even that he stops. So he just says, Bohu, which is Rosh Hashanah. He invented this Rosh Hashanah. Bohu, Barocha vehatzlacha. Bohu. So he said, tell the Gabbai, I don't just want a Bohu. I want the real deal. I want him to sit down with me, to pay attention, to understand I am in an ace tzara. So it seems the Gabbai told Rav Chaim Kanievsky this. Person comes in, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky says to him, Bohu, Bohu, Bohu. 3 times. And you know what happened? He had triplets. That's what it says. Is the story true or not? I don't know, but this is what's circulating. This is what's circulating. This is what's circulating online. Bohu, Bohu, Bohu. That's the story. So it's interesting.
This week's, if you quote that, you can quote the TV News, has a one-page article by Gil Spoon on the this efficiency.
Efficacy
of brachas.
Yeah.
And his whole point is that Shimon Peres was a little boy, he doesn't even remember he got a bracha.
From the Chavetz Chaim?
Yeah.
Shimon Peres did a bracha from the Chavetz Chaim. Yeah, he's not a Pashto person, Shimon Peres. He's not a Pashto person. Very interesting. You know, he was the one that was in charge at the time of Entebbe, Operation Entebbe. It was his decision. He was a defense minister. It was his decision to proceed with the mission. And he deliberated. He really, they had, what was this year? This year was the anniversary.
What
50 years. 40 years. They had the ceremony in Entebbe, and it was in the news. A couple of years ago, I didn't have a chance to look at anything, but a couple of years ago, I watched. I remember as a child, my mother took me, I remember clearly, the Mitzvah Shabbos in the Lower East Side, she took me to a movie. It was a big event in the Lower East Side. That was the days before by Reisman and Mitzvah Shabbos. In those days, you know, you look for entertainment. So I remember she took us to the Edgies, Education Alliance. They showed their Entebbe. They showed there one of the, I think they must have made many, many films of. So it was one of the better ones. So it was a big, the whole Lower East Side came out to watch, to see the film. So. What? His brother, Tanya's brother was killed. Yeah, well, there's a lot of tragic things that happened. It wasn't so glorious. But they have, I saw a couple of years ago online on YouTube, I saw two documentaries, two fascinating documentaries. Each one was about 45 minutes. They're very similar, but they're very different. And it presents the facts, it recreates it, not like the movie. It shows the tragedy that also, there was a lot of tsar
plant manager who came in from Israel, he looked like a little roly-poly guy who was a softy. When somebody said, don't let you know where he was
Entebbe.
One of the soldiers in the Entebbe raid.
It's a very, 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 very fascinating story. It's unbelievable. Okay. So Shimon Peres, he's the one. He's the one that was behind the entire thing. L'chein koyim Hashem im tashuv v'ashuv. Okay, that's Pshat on the Pasuk. And then the last words of the Pasuk are, Yeshuvu Hema Elecha, they will return to you. The Ata Loisa Shuv Alehem. We learn according to the Radak, very powerful words. Watch out, Yirmiyah. Watch out. When you go on the mission, I'm sending you to some very difficult, some very, very scary places. There's going to be a lot of influence. They're going to try very hard to contaminate you, to influence you, that they're not so bad, and you should join their ranks. Watch out. See to it that they return to you and you do not return to them. See to it, this is according to the Radak, this is a very sharp warning. Now let me just read you one or two midrashim on this pasuk, which we did not get a chance to do yesterday. So this pasuk says, Im Toshuv, this pasuk, this is in the Gemara. Now forget it, the Medrash, this is a Gemara, Masechta Bava Betzilah, Pei Hei, Amid Aleph. Im Toshuv, Vashivcha lefonai tamavim tosi yakam mizol kitisia. What does this pasuk mean? Amar Rav Yehudah Rav. The Amrila Amar Bechi Baraba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Amrila some say Amar Bishul Bar Nachmeni Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Three people are claiming credit for this Maimon Chazal. Call Hamelamed es ben chaveroi Torah. Anyone that teaches the child of his friend. It's one thing to teach your own child. That obviously you're going to do. You're going to work very hard to make sure that your own children are talmidei chachamim. You'll pay tutors. But what about ben chaveroi? It's not your child. There's nothing you're going to get out of this. If you go through the effort of teaching ben chaveroi zoiche v'yoyshe b'yeshiva sholmaila, you'll merit to sit in the yeshiva sholmaila shenemar im toshuv. If you will, Tashuv means you will be influential in causing someone else to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the reward is, we take these three words together. This is how we translated the words yesterday when we learned Rashi and the Metzudas David. Vashivcha, your station in the Olam HaEmes will be Lefonai Ta'amod. You will stand before me. In Toshon, over here he has a translation. I'm sure the translation here is from this Rashi. This is Rashi from the Gemara Masechta Metzia. Im Toshuv Yisrael Lemuta Bisoy Chachtecha Vashivcha Elai, and they return. Now he's quoting Rashi here on our pasuk. Vashivcha Elai Lefanav Lefanai Tamod. If you succeed in causing them to come close to Hashem, Lefanai Tamod, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Amali Shamod Veskaim Lefanav Imuchal LaHashivam. Next. Then he goes further. That's the first part of the pasuk. Kol hamalamid es ben chaveroi Torah. The next part of the pasuk is v'chol hamalamid es ben am ha'oretz Torah, which means you have a person that there's no hope for. This person, if not for your intervention, would be nothing. Would just be a total ignoramus. Then it says here the brach will be afilo kadosh baruch hu goyzer gezera. Even if Hashem issues a evil, a harsh decree, mevatla b'shviloi a tzaddik, this person will have the koyach to be mispalel and be mevatla l'gzeru. Shenemar, v'imtoitzi yokar mi zoylel, if you bring forth a yokar from a zoylel, which means a Talmud Chacham who's a yokar, me'am aretz, kifi siya, you will be on the madrega of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's very kedai to get a bracha from the very successful people involved in the chinuch. That's what it says here. Yeah, people, they do outreach, and they're very successful. They have tremendous, tremendous chus. You go to them for a bracha, it can be a much bigger bracha than going to a bracha from an admar. Look what they have accomplished, these people, to fulfill what it says in the pasuk, to bring forth a yokar mi zoylel. Okay, then there's another medrash, which is very similar. And then there's a third medrash from the Avos, the Rabbi Nassim, which is also similar, although it was short, called Hamachnis Beria Achas Tachas Kanfe Shechina. Anyone that brings a person under Tachas Kanfe Shechina, which obviously refers to Kiruv, Hamokoim Ma'ale Olav Ki'ilu Bira'ah. Hashem considers it as if you have created that person. Kilu Yitzarosh and Emar, Vimtotsi Yakam Yizolel, Kifisia, and the Perishe is this beautiful Perish of Osir Menosim. Kifi means just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vayipach Be'apov Nishmas Chayim. Hashem blew the breath of life into the nostrils of man, Vayi Adol Nefesh Chaya. A person was a living creature. So here Hashem saying, you're like my peh. Just like I blew with my peh breath into the nostrils of man, so to you, by bringing a person tachas kanfei shechina, you also like yefir. A nefesh also b'charon. He created neshama in charon in a chanami. Kefir shenofach neshama l'adam arishon. That's what you. That's the same credit. Okay, that concludes the midrash. Now we go on to the next pasuk. The next pasuk reads. Here he's repeating again. Here Kadosh Baruch Hu is repeating the promise he made to Yirmiyah in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. And what is the promise? I will make you with in regard to this people. In other words, the people that you're going to give Musar, and they're going to respond with criticism and with harassment. Don't worry, Yirmiyah. I will protect you. I will set you in regard to this people, l'choymas n'choyshas, a wall of copper, bitzura, that is fortified, V'nilchamu alecha, they may fight against you, but you should be aware, v'lo yuchlu loch, do not worry, they will not succeed. Ki itcha ani lehoyishiyacha, I am with you, Yirmiyah, to save you. Uli hatzilecha, to two different expressions of saving you. Nu'am Hashem, so says Hashem. Pasuk chaf aleph, v'itzalticha miyad ro'im, I will save you from the hands of the evildoers. Ufti sicha mikaf oritzim, and I will redeem you from the tyrants. Okay, an oritz is a tyrant, or here they translate it as from the power, the grip of the powerful. Let's see these two psukim in the Mitzudos. David, pasuk chav nisaticha, etenascha mul ha'am hazelios chazak yichaymas nechayish. I'll set you before these people like a wall that's strong, like a wall of copper, bitzur that's fortified. Even if they attempt to fight and will go to war against you, they will not be successful. Ki ani yishiyacha, I will save you. These are the people of Anosos, Nikaf Aritzim, Hachazokim, the strong people, Mimcha Bekoya Chazroya, the Kofel Hadavar Benilim Shainois, poetic repetition. Rashi, there is none. Radak, these two psukim, pasuk chaf, pasuk chaf. Now here, Mr. Marillus, here's where Rash is going to really address your question in more detail. Unisaticha, Omar, Hashem said, Hashem is responding to Yirmiyah. Lo eya loy kmo odom echzof. Yirmiyah, how dare you? How dare you accuse me of being a liar? It's incredible what it says here in the last psukim. Mamash says you're a liar, you're unfaithful, you're like a spring that dries up. It's shocking, right, to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like this. Today, can you imagine what they would do to such a person? But Yirmiyah got away with it. And Hashem says to him, I'm not going to be like an Adam Echzok, Ela Kimo Shamarti Lecha B'tchila. I am faithful to my words, the words that I've said to you in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. What did I say? I will set you against these people who are attacking you like a wool of copper, bitsur that is fortified. They will try to go to war against you, but they will be unsuccessful. Now here's what Hashem says. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, you did not listen well to what I told you. I never told you that they will occasionally attack you. That's what you think. That's what you thought. That's what I told you. You did not understand my words. What I told you, I will fulfill. They will not be able to kill you, but you should understand it's a continuous battle. They're going to fight tooth and nail, non-stop. Avolheim yulcham ve'elecha, bein bedvarim, words, bein bemakos, physical abuse, bein bebizayon, and psychological abuse. You're going to be the ultimate victim. You'll be a member of every card-carrying member of every organization there is, Rahman al-Islam, for all these victims. That's what Hashem says to Yirmiyah. You're going to be. As long as you give the Musar, as long as you continue on the mission to bear the burden of giving the Musar, and here Hashem is something very, very powerful. That even though it may appear that you are unsuccessful, that's not true. There are individuals who listen, who take your words seriously. And it's kedai just for them. It's an amazing Musar Haskel for people that are involved in teaching in Kiruv. It is so frustrating. There's just no one listening. You have a class and like of children, and they're just wild, and no one is paying attention. You give a shiur even for adults, like what it's all about. And Kiruv, the answer is it's not true. Even though maybe for the majority, it does not appear that you're successful. There are always yechidim, individuals that listen, that are influenced, that change their ways. And for those individuals, it's worth everything. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yirmiyah. You're right. For the masses, you're giving them musar. Ein kol ve'ein oyne. No one's listening. No one's listening to one word. They're all going to die. I'm going to wipe them all out. But Yishno Yirmiyah, there are Yechidim. There's an individual here, individual there, that's receptive to what you're saying, and he will be spared, and from him great things will come. And it will all be to your credit. And it's hard to see it now, but that's what he says. It's a very big chizuk for these
two. The Kodesh Baruch was saying, Zula si kolei ben yifunei lu yirena, lo et pein es haaretz. It's sort of like, you know, everybody died, survived, he and Yoshua.
Only those
they
two.
They get credit for a lot.
For everything. They rebuilt. Even though it may be true that the majority, the masses, will not do tshuva, it is impossible. Some of them will do tshuva. Like we see that later in this sefer, when they did want to assassinate Yirmiyah, and they did have the ability to do so, there were a few good people that stood up and said, no, we're not going to kill him. You have no right to kill him. He didn't do any crime. Kishiratzu lahamisa, later in this sefer, we're going to learn when they wanted to assassinate him, Amru hasarim, there were officers that said, Ein le'ish hazen mishpat mavis, this individual is not deserving of death. He spoke to us in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Period. So therefore, Yirmiyah, do not worry. The Im Tidrach Baza Hashem reinforces his words. If you exert yourself and you continue on the mission, and you are not concerned in regard to their insults and their harassment, do not worry. You will receive reward from me. I will save you. Miyad roim, mikaf aritzim, shreitzim lahamischa, and I will save you from the evildoers and from the tyrants who want to kill you. Period. Okay, that concludes Perek Tes Vav. Now we go to an entirely new theme, and the psukim here, they move very, very quickly. Okay, there's a massively long radak, which we're going to go through. It's very easy, very simple, and we'll go through. The Radak is making up. It's very easy, but he'll make up in commentary. Vayihi devar Hashem elai leimar. Hashem says to Yirmiyah the following, I want you to do something. I want you to do, this is very typical of Nevi'ah, I want you to do simonim. I want you to go and do something in public, and that people should be bewildered. Why are you behaving in this fashion? And it will start a discussion. It will start a Facebook page, a Facebook, what do they call it, a group, whatever it is, and people are going to start commenting, and they're going to start analyzing exactly what you're doing, and there'll be commentary, and there'll be discussion, and all of that will be to achieve the purpose that I want. And what is that? Here's the bizarre thing. First of all, he says to him, "Lo sigach lucha isha v'lo yil lucha banim ubanos v'mokim azeh." First thing is, I don't want you to get married here. I don't want you to get married and have children here in Anosos. If someone reads you a shidduch, say, I will not marry a girl from Anosos. I want to go from out of town. That's the first thing. I want a girl from out of town, no and if or buts. And people are going to start wondering why. What's wrong with the girls from Anosos? What's wrong with us? Why doesn't he want to take a shidduch from this city? That's going to start a discussion. It must be that he knows something that we do not know. He is a prophet, after all. He has inside information. People are going to start getting nervous. And that maybe will lead to them doing tshuva. The next thing Hashem says, why? Ki choy amar Hashem, so says Hashem al habonim v'al habonos, ha-yilodim b'mokim hazeh, because the children that will be born in this location, the al imoisam, ha-yoldos osam, and their mothers that conceive. Yoldos here doesn't mean to give birth. I think we'll see what the moment means more to conceive. What does it say in the Mitzudos Sina? Doesn't say anything. Okay, we'll come to the commentary in a moment. The al avoisam ha-molidim osam, and on their fathers that father these children, give birth, they cause them to be conceived. Ba'aretz hazos, what does Hashem say concerning the children? There's a gezerah, mimose, a death, tachaluim, a painful, miserable death will come, yamusu, they will die. And the death will be miserable as they die, and even after death. They will not merit kever Yisrael. V'lo yisaftu, there will be no eulogies. V'lo yikaveru, they will not be buried. L'doymen, as garbage, a heap of garbage, al panei ha'adama yiyu, they will be. Uvecherev, uverav yichlu, they will die to the sword and through famine. V'haysa nivlasam l'machol, their carcasses will be for food. L'oif ha'shamayim, ule v'hemas aretz, and for the animals of the earth. So therefore, that's what's going to happen. And therefore, you, by not taking a wife from this city, will right away arouse this suspicion that indeed this is what's going to happen to our nasos. And maybe people will be inspired to do tshuva and from their evil ways.
He's instructed to tell them that.
Yes, because that's a dogma. He's obviously he's not married here at this point in time. And people are suggesting shidduchim, and he says he wasn't that popular, but there's always someone that will go. There's always someone, right? Whatever the story is, he lets it be known. Okay, there's information that we don't know, whatever it is, but he lets it be known that he will not marry a girl from this community, and that right away arouses interest. Why not? The commentators are all speculating what's going on. And then he steps up to the plate and he tells them, you know why? Because you're all a bunch of Rishayim. And anyone that is born in this community, there's a curse from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be wiped out. And when the people hear that, they're shaken up. And hopefully it achieves...
Are you surprised that they want to kill him?
What?
No surprise
they want to kill him. But he's provoking them. Obviously, the surprise is someone who still want to read a Meshuddach. That's the surprise. So what is all of that about? Okay, so let's see over here. The first, the Mitzudos, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, first Yipsukim, Pasuk Beis, V'lo Yiyu, L'man Lo Yilcha Bonim. The reason why I do not want you to get married is because if you get married, you're going to have children. I do not want you to have children because I don't want your children to have to suffer. Hamolidim, hameabroisim, imoisam. The mothers produce, the mothers conceive and become pregnant and give birth. Nimos.
It's talking
about the fathers. Hamolidim. Oh, hameabroisim, imoisam, who caused the mothers to become pregnant. Okay. They caused them to prepare pasuk dalid. Nimose tachalum, they will die a painful death. Mimisas tachalue ra'av yamusu, a death of a painful starvation, they shall die. Kimoishakasov yimbasio irvide tachalue ra'av, like we had before, if I come into the city and behold, there is a painful famine. Lo yisoftu, they will not be eulogized. Ki yu turudim bitsarasam, they will not have time to eulogize the children because they will be busy with other problems. V'lo yikaveru, ki yibu ma'od, there will be so many dead bodies that there just won't be the manpower to bury the dead. Lo yaspiku l'kavram, they will not be able to bury them. V'yu mushlochim al pnei ha'adama kezevel, the dead bodies will lie in the field like fertilizer. L'machal behema ho'il, since v'lo yikaveru, u'lehevas aretz, v'tzad olema l'chayas aretz, ki chayim b'chlal behema. Okay. Let's see Rashi. There is no. Let's see the long Radak. It's not a very easy Radak. He just explains. Pasik Alav Ahi Devar Hashem. Lo Sikach Lecha Isha. Yesh Hine Mivucha. There is here some. What's a good translation for Mivucha? Confusion. What's a good translation for Mivucha? Bewilderment. Confusion. Yesh Hine Mivucha. There's a Mivucha. There's some confusion as to understand the correct interpretation of these psukim. Lama tzivahu hakel shlo yikach isha v'lo yalid banim bubanos. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu make such a decree? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him to do this? Lufi, shenigzro gzera al habanim v'yal habanos hayiludim b'mokim hazeh sheyimusu b'rav. Obviously it was because there is a gzera on the people who are born in this community that they will die. Now the question over here is, why would Yirmiyah's children die? The only reason why a child, Rachmana Litzlan, dies is because, as he goes on to say, is due to the chait of the avos. Lo yumsu avos al banim, banim lo yumsu al avos. But if the children are adukim in the chatoim of their fathers, then the children die due to the sins of their fathers. But Yirmiyah is a tzaddik yesod olam. Yirmiyah has no sins. So even if he had children in this community, it's a given that his children will survive. So why then would Hashem tell him not to do this? V'chi lo hoya kedai Yirmiya sheyichyu bana b'schuso, is Yirmiya not worthy that his children shall live in his merit? V'inei akatanim, when it comes to children, there's a general rule, eina meisim ela b'avoyin avoy sehem, they only die due to the sins of their forefathers. V'yirmiyahu lo hoya loy avoyin sheyemusu bana b'avoyin. Yirmiya was clean. He was innocent. V'oy, the second question, Af al pisha nigzra gzera shimusu b'chevirav hagzera al tzatzam v'loy al kulam v'loy al kulam. Even though indeed it was a gzera that the people are going to die, there's no such thing when Hashem issues a gzera that it applies to every single person. They're always going to be survivors. So certainly Yirmiyah's children, even if they were to be from the survivors, kigam golus nigzra lehem. It says the Pharisee in Yecheskel that there will be survivors. Even though there's going to be godless, there's always going to be a remnant that will survive. The also third question, Shagam al Ha'ovos Vial Ha'imois Gozar Shemusu, even when it comes to the parents, we find that although Hashem said that they all will die, we do find in Divrei Hayamim that they were survivors of the adults as well. V'loy meisukulam shurei golu mehem kinyan hazeh nema bebrivus yecheskel ubanim ubanim v'imbanos yatsilu hema levadam yinatzlu v'lama lo yitzilu ha'avos had tzadikim espineyem shareihem kamosam. Why the ki'ein lubanim akatanim chet shemusu ba'avuroi Elo kishahei meisim b'avoyin avoyseyem meisim. When they die, it's due to the sins of the fathers. V'ima avos heim tzadikim. And if we do find that the pasuk tells us that there were some adults that were tzadikim, lama yimusu habonim. So therefore, okay, he's repeating himself in different angles, but the basic idea is the same. Why did Hashem tell Yirmiyah not to marry and have children? Because his children will die. It's not true. The children of Yirmiyah would not die because they had the merit of their father, of Yirmiyah. They themselves would be tzaddikim. There's no reason why they should die. So therefore the Radak says, I'll tell you what I think. That specifically in this community, Anosos, Uvanosos never lo nevuazo, v'hisiru shlo yikach isha v'lo yorli banu banu sham, there was a special gzera. So what he's saying over here is that Anosos was an exception. It's true we find in Yecheskel and other sources that there would be remnants, there would be survivors, but the rishis, the evil of Anosos was so intense that there was an extra special gzera. Every single living creature in Anosos would die. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to protect Oy L'Rosha, Oy L'Shcheinai. Sometimes Sadiqim are Nesaf in the Avoin of the community, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this instance had to protect Yirmiyah. The kevan shenigzura gzera zo al anshe nasos kulam im yul Yirmiyah shamban ubanas, and Yirmiyah would have children, yisofu bichlal hoachedim, they would perish together with everyone else, even though Yirmiyah was a tzaddik. Kmo shenemar ki at tzedek yoshev mishpat kmo shepirashnu b'mekoymoi, which means in that pasuk that even the tzedek will also suffer mishpat, meaning that a tzaddik will perish together with 1,000 evil.
They were worse than Sodom?
Yeah, well, Sodom, if they would, Avraham stopped praying. Avraham, Lot was saved only in the Zuchus of Avraham. In the Zuchus of Avraham. So they make a good point. Yes, I don't know. Maybe in Echad, maybe they were worse than Sodom. Yeah, I don't know. You're making a very good point.
And was it permanent? Was this curse permanent?
Well, we'll see. Let's see what he goes further. He goes on to say that it didn't. That, Okay, let's get.
There is permanent too.
No, they were survivors. The Radak says later on, he said this before as well, we had this before as well, that even though the curse was so complete, we do find in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, when they came up to the Goyle, when they came up to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, they were survivors from Anosos. So even though the curse was over the top, yet Hashem at the end did have Rachmanis, and there were a few survivors. Let's read further. He explains all this.
Were people who just resettled.
No, it seems like they were. It seems the way the Radak explains, these were people who originated from Anosos. Let's see. Kimoyish Amru Lot, like we find by Lot. Lot Penti Safeh Bavayin Hu'ir. Lot, leave. Because if you're not going to leave, you're going to die with everyone else. The Kol Shekein Mishain Loi Zuchus Me'atzmo. Certainly, if you have no merit, Kimo Habonim Vehabonos. Like the children. Children, they don't have their own merit. They need to come on to someone else's merit in order to survive. He's asking another question. Okay, so let Yirmiyah, let him have children. And the minute before the Churban happens, they'll leave. Ella Shalom, the people of Anosos would not let them out. They would not grant them a visa. They would not let them exit pass. They would not. They locked the doors. Ela shelo hayu manichin oisam kiroivehem b'nei anosos. They would not let them out. Ki lo hayu maminim b'nevu. They did not believe in Yirmiyah's prophecy, and therefore they won't hold them hostage. Yirmiyah, if you're going to let this happen to this city, and they thought he had power, maybe your own children would die. Therefore, Hashem said, "I don't want you to get involved in this. Therefore, the best thing is just to avoid the whole thing." Don't have children, because the end will be they will perish with the people of the city. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, "Guess what? You also wouldn't survive. If you will be found in this city at the time when the korban comes, you'll also perish." This that we find, Shamar Ahemo Levadim Yinatzlu, we do find that Sadiqim Zeh, we do find an instance that Sadiqim survived. So he then goes on to some very interesting things. Zeh Kisheyu Shaloisha Sadiqim Beirachas, Kimoish Amar Noach, we had this in Yecheskel, Noach, Doniel, Viyoiv, Besoicha. There's a pasuk that says, puts these three together. Noach, Doniel and Eov, if they were in the city, they would survive. So his thing over here is, if you have over here three tzaddikim together, and the example is Noach, Doniel, and Eov, three together are strong enough to form a band that they will survive. But one person is not enough to survive. Loi Omar tzaddik echol levad. One tzaddik is not enough. Elo kishahim shaloisha o yoser yinatzlu. Because when you have at least three, then we say ki yitzdarfu zichuyos shloshtan lahatzilam, the merit of each one adds to the other in order to form an intensity where they will survive. The yim yu yu asara. Then we go to the story of Sodom. If you have 10 people, heim bitzidkasam yatzilu kol ha'ir. 10 tzaddikim are strong enough to save the entire city. Hashem said about Sodom, if you'll find 10 tzaddikim, then asasi l'chol ha'mokim ba'avim, I will save the entire city in their merit. V'yim yinatzlo mimisa, and even if they will be spared from death, evshe shlo yatzilum migolos o mi'oynish acher, even if there are 10 people, it's not necessarily going to mean that they're going to be saved from everything, they'll be saved from death, but they're not going to be safe from golus and other forms of punishment. Umash nemar b'shir shel pigav. What about we say yoishev b'seiser elyoin, the mizmor in Tehillim, which is called the shir of pigoim, of infliction, of the shir that you say to avoid. This mizmor is meant to be said in order to be protected from the demons or from the enemies that come to attack. And there it says yipol mitzidcha elef. From your side, from your left side, 1,000 of your enemies will fall, and from your right side, 10,000. Lo yigosh, they will not come near you. Lo yikra zel l'chol tzaddik. So that passage seems to indicate that even one tzaddik is strong enough to protect, to wipe out the enemy on all sides. So he says that that passage is not discussing your average tzaddik. That's discussing these ultra tzaddikim who are on steroids. We're not discussing here your average tzaddik, and that you need at least three, or you need 10. Elo l'misha hashkacha by tamidas, person to whom Hashem continuously protects, le'sasu mimenu k'mo shenemar ki vi chashak va'afalateu, as it says there in the pasuk in that mizmor tzadi aleph. In me does this person, Hashem says, does this person cleave? Does he connect? Va'afalateu, as I will save him, asagiveu, I will strengthen him. Do you know why? Ki yodashmi, he knows who I am. That's dealing over here with a very, very special person. The average person, even the average tzaddik, is not worthy of this protection.
He's not on that level.
That's what he's saying, yeah. He's saying he's not on that level. We just finished learning. He questioned HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He just called Hashem a liar.
Yeah, but
yodashmi
was definitely true.
Ki yodashmi, but not on the madrega of what it says in the pasuk. He was very critical of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Moshe criticized HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Also criticized. Who are we dealing with? Who is this mystical tzaddik that we're dealing with? This anonymous tzaddik. I don't know. You know, the joke. The person is such a tzaddik nistar. He's such a tzaddik nistar. Even the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't know. The afal pishim nigzera gezera lanche nasos. Now here he says something very positive. The Radak winds down. Even though indeed we do find that there was a very harsh decree on anasos shalotia b'chem sheris hoyselchem sheris. There was a remnant. There were survivors. Sheasu teshuva the ace kibush aretz. At the time of the conquest, they indeed did teshuva. Kimotzanu b'shuv Golus Bavel Omar. We find that when they return back from Golus Bavel, 70 years later, and we record those who return, Anshe Anasos Mea Eshrim Ushmoina, 128. So we see there were 128 survivors that did come from Anasos. Ahli Fein, Hakel Tziva Yirmiyahu, Alma Shehoyso Gzeira Tchila, Gzeira Sam Tchila, but that was not the original plan. According to the original plan, there would be no survivors, and therefore it's not in your best interest, Yirmiyahu, to get married and have children over here. V'loi Gila Teshuvasam Li Yirmiyahu, Hashem did not reveal that the time would come when they would do tshuva. L'fish Amaloi Hashem, Ki Gzeira Sam Kasha, Hashem said the Gzeira is very severe, Asher Tzivo, Hakel Shlo Yikach Isha B'makoyim Hahu, not to get married in this place. Okay, next pasuk, so shall be the hayiludim, the children that are born, shem toyar, this is a descriptive a noun, v'chein hayiludim b'amidbar, mimosei shem v'pelas ki mivo'ei ir mivuka'a. Okay, this is an expression, it's a grammatical form of a word, I don't know what this means, uvuloy mem le'sefes mosei arelum tamus. Okay, it's another word, there's an extra mem. There's an extra mem, and we find another pasuk where the mem is omitted. V'hu kibbutz o min moves. It's kibbutz means it's a form. It's a form which comes. It's rooted in the word mem vav saf misa. The shoyresh of the word is mem vav saf, and this word is conjugated into this word mimusei. With son loymar misas tachaluim yamusu, a painful death they shall die. The precise meaning of the word tachaluim is the choli ro'av yumusu. The pasuk goes on to explain a painful death of famine. If I enter the city of tachalui ro'av, there are people who are dying and starving and are in pain from famine. From people that are sick from chifan, chifan means famine, yimusun, you will die. Ve'im lo yezet heyushoi, ma'ir tzoloi ma'mi moseh tachaluim yimusu. Kol, but if this is not what it means, what's the purpose? It has to mean over here that it means the death of famine. Because if it's not what the pasuk means, what is it telling us? Kol b'nei adam meisim b'choyli. Every person dies from sickness. What, there's no such thing as just lying down to die. Every person, to some degree, death involves choili, illness. If a person is not died by sword, there's always going to be sickness. So why does the pasuk here say there's going to be sickness? It must be a different type of sickness, a very painful type of sickness, and that refers here specifically to the painful sickness of starvation. Okay, next, lo yisoftu v'lo yikaveru, ki kolecha yitar be'atzma v'lo yipenai l'spoil l'kvuvar. No one's going to have time to bury and to eulogize because they'll be busy with themselves. Alright, so that concludes this very fascinating radak, telling us over here some insight into what exactly over here Hashem's command that Yirmiyah should leave this city, because there are going to be no survivors, and the rishis is so intense, no, there will be no survivors. In the process, he taught us this concept, taught us about different types of tzaddikim. If there are 10 tzaddikim, indeed the entire community can be spared from death, but not necessarily from exile or from other forms of punishment. If there are 3 tzaddikim, then they will be spared, but not everyone else. 1 tzaddik is not enough. The only exception is the tzaddik that we find in the Shir Shel Pegoyim, a tzaddik yisoid oilam, the tzaddik that knows Hashem, that is in constant, understands Hashem's hashkacha, he indeed will be spared from death when everyone else dies. Okay, now we go to the next section. Kichoi pasuk hey. Kichoi. Now we go now to another instruction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Yirmiyah. Kichoi Amar Hashem. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, Al tovo beis marzeach. What is a beis marzeach? We're going to have here 2 interpretations. Mitzudas and Rashi. Either means a beis ovel. Another. I want you to do another bizarre act. I want you to develop a custom where you don't pay a shiva course. And again, you're a public figure, and people are going to comment. It's going to draw attention. Why doesn't Yirmiyah pay a shiva call? What got into this guy? Who does he think he is? It's going to draw attention. It's going to create speculation. And they're going to comment, and people are going to wonder, and you're going to tell them. Or, now another interpretation is, Marzeach means, do not go to a wedding, to a beis mishteh, to parties. And again, it's also going to draw attention and speculation. Why don't you go to a wedding? We invited you to the wedding. What's the problem? You don't want to go have a good time? Have a good meal? Dance a little bit? Get some cover? They'll call you up on the chuppah. Chuppah, haraf, hagoyin. Why don't you want to go to a wedding? Again, it's going to draw attention. Al tavoy beis marzeach, a beis avil, a beis mishteh, the al telich lispo, do not deliver eulogies. The al tonod lohem, when you go to a beis avil, when you go to a mourner, do not bow your head, do not bend your head to commiserate, to show empathy or sympathy with the mourners. Val tonod lohem, why? This will serve as a sign, your conduct to the people, ki osafti yeshlamim yesam azem, because I am gathering in my peace from these people, Noam Hashem, so says Hashem. And what is Shalom? Here the pasuk is a very important pasuk, because the Medrash over here tells us that the translation of Shalom is Es HaChesed V'Es HaRachem. It's an amazing pasuk. What is peace? Shalom. V'Nasati Es Brisi Shalom. We say it every day in davening 100 times. The last bracha, Sim Shalom Tovu Uvracha. What is peace? It's very hard to define peace. This pasuk here has done us a very great favor, and it's defining us peace. Peace is chesed and rachamim, kindness and compassion. If there's kindness and compassion, automatically there's going there. That's called peace. Peace doesn't necessarily mean everyone's buddy-buddy, because you can't be like that. You can't be buddy-buddy with Rishayim. Can't be. You can't even be buddy-buddy with your friends sometimes. Sometimes you see differently, and there has to be separation. There has to be, you do things your way, I'll do things my way, let's not step on each other's toes, and we'll get along. But that's not the way we normally translate peace. We think peace is everyone is hugging each other, and everyone is one big happy family. That's very naive. That's not the way the world works. People are very different. There has to be diversity. Everyone has to do their own thing. The taitz of shalom means everyone is out for the benefit of someone else. Listen, you have your derech. You have your approach to life. How can we help you? I'm not part of your machane. I'm not a svardi. I'm not a teimani. I'm not an Ashkenazi. I'm not a chosid. It's not my niche. I don't feel comfortable in your type of community. It's just not my DNA. But I appreciate who you are. I appreciate your contribution to this world. How can I be of assistance? You need money. You need Sifrei Torah. You need support. What could we do for you so you can continue doing what is unique to you? I'm not going to join you. I'm not going to daven, but I want to help you. That's called shalom. Shalom is respect. Chesed, I will help you. I will assist you. Rachamim, I will have mercy. I'm not going to try to cut you out. This is what it says. This is Ma'ar Shafir Shechazal. The pasuk is teaching what it means. Shalom. Okay, we'll come to it soon. Let's take a look over here at the Mitzudos David.
Is this pasuk applying only to Anosos, or is it applying already everywhere?
It seems only to Anosos. I think this is only referring to Anosos. That's what it seems. Let's read the next few psukim. Pasuk Vav. Umeis, who's going to die? Gidoylim, uketanim, ba'aretz hazos, adults, children, this land, lo yikaveru, they will not be buried, lo yispidu lohem, they're not going to be eulogized, lo yis. Now here is something really, really bizarre. Lo yis, everyone apologized, and there has to be something very, very deep in these words. This is really, really bizarre. Lo yiskodad, lo yikareach lohem. When their children die, and when the people in the community die, they're not going to be buried, they're not going to be eulogized, and the people are not going to gash themselves. They're not going to take out a knife and cut themselves on their head, and they're not going to pull out their hair. Now the problem is, it's an Isser de Araisa, lois siskoididu, v'lois so simu karcha bein einechem lemes. If you look at this pasuk, it seems like this is normal. This is the normal way of living. Rachmana litzlan, when there's a tragedy, people would cut themselves and they would pull out their hair in the sign of grief. What the Torah says, you're not allowed to do it. Torah, yeah, for someone else, not for me. That's what the impression the pasuk gives you. How then do we understand this pasuk telling you they're not going to do something anyway? They can't do it because of the nisur their rights to do so. So basically, all of the commentators say, "Einochinami, it's usur," but the people did it anyway. They did it anyway. So here, Yirmiyah is saying, "Listen, you're not observant. You're not observant." It's like saying to us, it's like saying, "Listen, this community, everyone's going to die, and the bodies are going to be lying in the street." And there's going to be no cremation. No one's going to bother doing to cream to cremate the bodies. Cremate the bodies. What are you talking about? You're not do that. That's like one of the worst things you can possibly do. Yeah, but you people here in this community, you're irreligious. You're not observant. That's what you normally do, right? Isn't that what you normally do? So let me talk to you in your language. You have a wake, and you have cremation, and you have a. Whatever you do, all of the things which are mamish, 100% a keneged halacha. But this is what you do. So let me try to bring out the mesh of exactly the chum that's going to happen to you, and that is exactly what he's saying over there. Even though these things are 100% asur in HaTorah, but since these things were practiced by the people shalaika halacha, because they were not observant, in order to speak to them in their language, he spoke these words, even though the words are shalaika halacha. Shocking, shocking thing. You would not never expect this, to see such a thing like this, in Pesukim, in Nach. Okay, next, Pasuk Zayin, the lo yifrisu lohem al evel lenachemo. They will not break bread. Yifrisu means to break bread by a mourner to give him comfort. This is the custom of halacha is sudas avra. The sudas avra, the oval is not allowed to eat the bread from his own bread. He has to be given bread from someone else. Someone else provides him bread. Therefore, there's going to be no one available to come and provide bread. You know why? Because everyone's going to be in mourning. This is very interesting when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av or Ol Aveilim. Since when does an Avel fast? Okay, this is a very interesting topic. What is exactly Tisha B'Av? Is Tisha B'Av a day of Avelus? Or is it a day of a fasting? You don't have, the two things don't go together. Either there's a fast day, or there's Avelus. You never saw an Avel, Rachmana Litzlan, an Avel, someone was sitting Shiva fast. There's no such thing. So the answer is obviously it's both. It's both. It's Yom Tzoyim, and it's also Avelus. But at a deeper level, no. It's a day of Avelus. An Avel is not allowed to eat from his own food, the first meal. Someone else has to provide that food. It's due to circumstance that we don't eat on Tisha B'Av. Because since everyone is an Avel, no one has food. No, there's no one available to provide food for anyone. So it's not the pshat, we're fasting. We're not eating because there is no food. I can't So your person can't eat my, you can't eat your own food. So who's going to give you food? You. You're also an avil. Okay, so him. He's also an avil. So Mamela, we're just not going to eat.
What
about a goy? What? What about a goy? There's no, they don't care. They're the ones who made us avilim. We don't want their food.
What if they bought your food?
Okay, it's obviously we don't. This is a machshava. This is not a concept. It's not a halachic halpi halacha. It's both. It's a din tsoim, and it's a din avelus. But there's a deeper. I'll give you other examples. Look, there's a famous expression about comparing Yom Kippur to Tisha B'Av. I don't know who says on Tisha B'Av, how can you eat, and on Yom Kippur, you don't need to eat. On Yom Kippur, you're a malach. A malach doesn't need to eat. Tisha B'Av, how can you eat? The Beis Hamidrash was destroyed. It's not a matter of halacha. It's a brisk din. It's tzvei dinim. You do this, and you do this. Where's the emotion? The emotion. Tisha B'Av, how could you eat? Yom Kippur, you don't need to eat. I'll give you another example. Why don't you eat on Tisha B'Av? Another machshav rayon. If you were to eat on Tisha B'Av, you would be required to recite Birchas Hamazon. Correct? How do you normally eat? You don't just chap a piece of food. You have to sit down, you have to wash. The proper way to eat is to wash, have bread. And you have to recite Birchas Hamazon. And what's going to happen when you recite Birchas Hamazon? Noi dilcho Hashem Elokeinu al shem chalto laviseinu eretz chemda toivu rechava. You've given us such a beautiful land. It's not the right thing to say those words on Tisha B'Av, because you're thanking Hashem for giving us the land. On this very day, the land was taken away from us. Why was it taken away from us? Because we did every avera possible in the book that we should not deserve this land. On this day was when the Meraglim came back and they said, we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. We're hypocrites. It would be the ultimate degree of hypocrisy to recite Birchas Hamazon on the Tisha B'Av. So the reason why you're not eating on Tisha B'Av is not because it's because we're religious. It's a halacha. It's a din. You don't eat on Tisha B'Av. You just can't embarrass yourself to eat. Because if you're going to eat, you're going to have to bench. If you're going to bench, you're going to have to mention the beauty of Eretz Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu you've given us. We're thanking you for giving us this land. First of all, on this day, we rejected Hashem's gift. That's what it's all about. The Chei HaMeraglim was a rejection, and the Averis that brought the Churban was also our rejection. Better keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool than open it and remove all doubt. So instead of looking at the reason why you don't fast on Tisha B'Av as a halachic reason, when you look at it from a hashkafic reason, how could you fast? The Beis Hamidrash was destroyed, an ovel. How? I would eat, but I'm an ovel. I need someone to give me food. There's no one out there to give me food, so no, I'm stuck. It's a technicality. Or I would eat, but I can't bring myself to say Birchas Hamazon. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to say Hashem, thank you for Eretz Yisrael on this day when I had the chutzpah to utterly reject your gift. It's not the right thing to do that on Tisha B'Av. So it's a whole different type of focus. Okay, let's go further. They will not distribute to an ovel bread lenachmo al meitz v'lo yashkoi sam kois tanchumim. They will not give him a cup of comfort. Al aviv v'al imo for the loss of a person's father and mother. It was a time of Chazal they drank four cups of wine, and each bracha of the Birchas Hamazon they drank another cup of wine. We don't do this today. And in fact, the Gemara says they would drink even ten. They used to originally drink 10 cups of wine.
They hit 14. That's what they called it quits.
So they drank what? By novel. They used to drink. Morris says they used to drink 10 cups of wine,
right.
And then they got drunk, so they couldn't hold their liquor. When the generation the skatnu, in the olden days, they can drink. The skatnu hadoros, so they could not hold their liquor. So they had to stop. They had to stop giving people. They cut it down from 10 to 4. We don't even drink even one. Or they say, Rav Chutner. Rav Chutner could hold his liquor. He can drink. He can drink gallons of the strongest wine. Nothing.
Wooden legs.
What?
It's called a wooden leg.
A wooden leg?
Yeah.
Was it a Yiddish expression?
Irish expression.
So he sat at the poor Mesibis. He was very domineering. This is what they say about Rav Chutner. They say about him, he was very domineering. And the Talmidim are very, very intimidated by him. And he sat by the poor Mesibis with the Talmidim. L'chaim. So if the Rebbe drinks a L'chaim, the Talmidim drink a L'chaim, right? You follow with the Rebbe. So he can drink gallons, L'chaim, and he keeps on drinking. Every time he drinks L'chaim, the Talmidim drink a L'chaim. After 3-4 cups, the Talmidim are all... they go. And he's going strong. Okay.
There's
now,
a movie about that.
What?
There's an Israeli movie about drinking. Oh, it's quite a good movie.
Okay. The low yifusukev next last pasuches ubeis mishter lo savo lo sheves esam. Hashem here says to Yirmiyah, Hashem repeats his instruction: you will not attend a beis mishter leachol v'lishtos to eat and drink. So if you learn the beginning of the pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk is mazreach. Marzeach. It's a very unusual word, which means a base ovel. You will not go to a base ovel, and then Hashem over here is telling him at the end, you're not either go to a base mishnah. You no socializing, no social events. Give up no social media. Okay, could you imagine if Hashem was writing this, and then you say no Twitter, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Google Plus. No, YouTube is not really social, but now they're trying to no social media. That's what Hashem over here is telling Yirmiyah. Stay away. What's going on?
Yirmiyah was doing that anyway.
What? Not necessarily. What? Maybe we have to know when the Nevuahs were set. It could be it's not in sequence. It could be that originally Yirmiyah was a jolly guy. Everyone hung out with him. He was a popular fellow, charismatic. He had some good stories to share. All of a sudden, he's gone into his spoidedness. What happened to this fellow? It drew his attention. People start talking, start speculating. It creates rumors. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll go over these psukim with the Mefarshim tomorrow. Okay,